We want to thank y'all for tuning in to Run Up the Numbers.
Every Monday at 8 a.m., and if you missed us in the morning, you can catch the replay in the afternoon at 2 p.m. and again at 8. You can also check out the shows archived over at thenumbers.fm. And for you early risers, every Monday morning at 6 a.m. on 107.1 X-Ray FM.
Make sure you're following us on all social media because we out here.
Yes.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram,
yes.
House Party,
yes.
YouTube,
there.
Twitch, Black Planet. I know y'all talking about our OnlyFans. It's going crazy in there. MySpace, Tinder, catch us ticking on the TikTok and Google Plus.
In this episode, we'll be putting you up on Wisconsin officer caught on camera planting drugs, and New York has a man-made island.
We'll also be jumping into a Portland mural honoring George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Ahmaud Arbery defaced with white supremacist graffiti. And Bob Moses, a civil rights legend, passes away.
Let's get right into it. Wisconsin officer caught on camera planting drugs. A black man is accusing a Wisconsin officer trying to plant drugs on him during a traffic stop and alleges to have video to prove it. The man, who goes by Glock Boy Savo on Facebook, posted a now viral video showing what appears to be a traffic stop in progress and captures a potentially incriminating moment. The officer is from the Caledonia Police Department and approaches the car quickly while tossing something into the back seat. The person taking the video, who appears to be Savu, questions what it was. The Village of Caledonia Police Department has responded via Facebook, issuing a statement claiming they'll be spearheading a full investigation, including pulling the body camera footage, dash cam video, and officer testimony from all law enforcement officers who were at the scene. According to TMZ, the officer is from the Caledonia Police Department and approaches the car quickly while tossing something into the back seat. Savo questions what it was. First time ever seeing a cop try to throw something on me just to get reason to search the car. He didn't even know I was recording. You can tell he was nervous. Savo captioned his Facebook post. Caledonia Chief of Police also added, please keep in mind that the cell phone video that is circulating depicts only a small portion of the entire encounter, whereas all available video may provide more context. The Caledonia Police Department believes strongly in transparency. Therefore, all body-worn camera video will be made available within the coming days. I'm not going front. The fact that they believe strongly in transparency just sounds funny for a police department. y'all believe, wait a minute, what?
So I had seen this video, and, you know, growing up, I'm sure you and I have both experienced, and maybe not firsthand experience, but have definitely heard the stories from our close friends and associates and family members and so on, of cops planting items. And watching this video in the way that it was done, in the manner that it was done, of course, the idea that, you know, once we get more context, great. I am not really aware of what other, it doesn't matter if somebody was planning, it doesn't matter what else went into that. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter what happened before, what happened after. If something was planted in a vehicle, something was planted in a vehicle. That walk up, and as you said, that's that, or as the article pointed out, this, I think his, the officer's response was like, I'm recording too. I've got video too.
I got a camera too.
But definitely looking shook up in that moment.
Oh, definitely.
So, you know, I'm definitely interested in to knowing what this context that we're not seeing actually is.
Yeah, I mean, and it goes outside of just planting evidence, like you said, yo. Like, this may not be something that we experience firsthand. But just police officers fabricating in the moment is definitely something I experience firsthand. Just like them looking at you, telling you that something is blue, something that is blue is red. Like, we've done this just to justify them pulling you over. Well, I saw you doing this. No, you didn't. There's no way you saw it because that wasn't happening. And now you're searching for this and you're not coming up with it. And now you're upset because maybe we threw something. There's nothing to throw out the window. None of what you thought you saw was actually happening. Also, this car isn't stolen. Like, this is my man's mom's car. Like, like, chill out. But I definitely I clicked the link and went to the local news in that area, and they had more of the video. And what the police are saying is that piece of plastic was torn off of something else that they got, like the officer that threw it in the car had grabbed it from another officer that had got it from another person that was in the car at one point. So they suspected that this was like a torn off piece of a baggie. And then once it wasn't, or once it didn't have any residue or result in any like reason to follow up, yeah, he just tossed it in the car. So that's the rest of the story I've heard. So I think them being like, you know, oh yeah, we believe in full transparency. Yeah, sure. Maybe this time. Maybe this time in a situation where, you know, there was no reason to search, your search resulted in nothing. Now it's like, yeah, we were just throwing something, you know, some piece of plastic in the car. But in the footage, like when he pans to the back, you can definitely see it's some torn plastic. Look like it was something was wrapped in it. It looked like something may have been wrapped in it at some point. Yes. But whatever was in the backseat that was thrown in, like nothing was in it. But it, again, he started putting his gloves on. So to me, that says he's about to make a search. You know what I mean?
That's what I captured.
Right. He's like, yeah, I got a camera on too. Gloving up while he's saying it. So we will see. We'll follow the story.
Returning trash to the car. A Portland mural honoring George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Ahmaud Arbery was defaced with white supremacist graffiti. Community members gathered in Northeast Portland Sunday to clean up a mural honoring George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Ahmaud Arbery that was defaced sometime late Saturday or early Sunday. Graffiti in the form of a web address for a white supremacist group was discovered Sunday morning on the mural called We Stand With You. This is not the first time graffiti from the hate group Patriot Front has marked art in the city. In June, the York statue at Mount Tabor was defaced with a red logo resembling a symbol used by Patriot Front. Other statues and murals across the country honoring Floyd, Taylor, and others killed by police have been defaced with Patriot Front logos over the last several months. The Southern Poverty Law Center calls Patriot Front a white nationalist hate group. Portland police did not immediately respond to a request for comment. The mural on Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and Northeast Failing Street was created by Christian Grijalva, who also goes by Firecat G, in the summer of 2020. I'm sad, confused, and lost for words on how much hate and ignorance is in our community. For white supremacist haters to come vandalize and deface my mural and the community's mural just blows my mind. Grijalva wrote in an Instagram post on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm not surprised only because, well, yeah, I'm not surprised, period. Mm-hmm. Seeing Patriot Front's name pop up is just par for the course at this point. They have been very vocal. Over the last year or so, I've been seeing the name pop up a lot. And they're definitely responsible for defacing the museum and ripping down the Black Lives Matter banner there. I'm not sure how many times they've done it, but just last week we were made aware of by the staff that was the eighth banner they've hung last week.
Whoa. Yeah.
And they actually caught someone on camera tearing it down during the day. Like, they're just broad daylight people. You know, racists are just walking up, tearing the banner down or cutting the banner and just, you know, just wilding out. I'm talking like the dude they have on camera is walking with like a Safeway bag. He's just, you know, just finished some grocery shopping and I'm going to walk and see if they put that banner back up. Oh, they did. I'm going to tear it down. Yeah, they're wilding. They out here just wilding.
It doesn't, you know,
racism,
it doesn't,
if you will.
You know, it's interesting because I think about, you know, graffiti and actually something that I saw this weekend that was like a BLM and anti-fascist that clearly wasn't from anyone associated with.
Right. Right. On the road clothes sign.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I had that moment of, yeah, nobody on this side of things did that.
No.
And to see how that would, you know, that's somebody's wanting to kind of signify and try to make this out to be.
Yeah,
that was a jab. That was a shot. That's absolutely more or less what that was, right? Yeah. Based on the events going on and thinking about, you know, a group like this who has some symbolism and they're essentially making sure that people know that it's them.
Right.
And of course, this won't cause the outrage that You know, if there was an actual, you know, some a BLM or something of that nature spray painted across whatever.
Right.
Nah. The type of outrage, I'm sure there's a, you know, an article somewhere that we can read the comments and we just wouldn't see the same type of.
Oh, yeah.
This isn't
shock and awe. No, this isn't taken the same way. Not at all. This isn't, you know, oh, how could they? They're tearing our city apart. They're, you know, they're splitting us down the middle and causing so much division. No, no one cares. Everyone just treats it like, you know, boys will be boys. They're just, you know, they're just messing around. They don't really mean any harm. People getting, you know, killed on the max, but it's no big deal. It's insane that they're not being taken seriously. It really, right. really is wild. And defacing that mural, you know what's so insane about this, right? If you were to catch one of them while they were doing it and run up on them, it'd be like, what's the big deal? Mm-hmm. Like, chill out, relax. It's just, why are you all upset about it? What are you doing, though?
Right.
Like, this is what you wanted, right? This is
the energy is rarely ever kept once actually confronted.
Yeah.
Especially when not in group form.
Mm.
The energy is never the same. We've seen quite a few videos, you know, that have popped up of, you know, people acting out and being called out on their SH, the other mm-hmm. two letters. Mm-hmm. And it's typically met with some type of confusion and trying to explain something that makes no sense.
Bruh, the confusion is the best part. Like, if they say the N-word and you smack them, it's like,
right.
What'd you put your hands on me for?
Right.
What? I'm be clear. Be clear in trying to, in understanding what you're dealing with right now. Like, don't pretend as if you're not trying to elicit this angry response from us. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not trying to have any civil discourse. It's not like you... No. Are setting up a table and it's like, you know, Black Lives Don't Matter. Argue me about it. You're not doing that. That's right. That's not what you're doing. You're defacing.
That's where
property.
People are used to being once removed because right. you can be behind the screen and go crazy in the comment section. And it's a lot different in the real world when you actually get caught. And that's where I think a lot of people exist in this place of being once removed from the actual impact. So they can just sit back and, you know, poly with their buddies about how they went and did this and did that.
Save
when they're
that.
Not doing it against any actual threat of pushback.
Yeah, say that again. The internet gangsters are real.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They get that screen out of the way. It's a whole different story. Mm. Be safe out there, y'all. Be safe. We were instructed by the museum that if we did see the man, no one should approach him. You know, just let security know. And I agree with that. I agree with that, y'all. Listen, they want us riled up. They want us acting up. They want us to respond so they can play victim and act like we've lost our minds because we're sad. Listen, you know what? We see you. Understand we're going to do everything we can to protect ourselves in the moment. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, make sure you don't get played out position, y'all. Straight up.
That.
Mm. That. So, New York has a new man-made island. Interesting. Little Island is billionaire Barry Diller and his wife, fashion designer Diane von Furstenberg's $260 million present to the city of New York, topped not by a bow, but by a man-made magic mountain. What is going on? The site of Little Island is the old Pier 54 in its historic heyday, the ship carrying the survivors of the Titanic docked there. A few years later, the Lithuania began its doomed voyage from the very same spot. Superstorm Sandy in 2012 did end Pier 54, like so much of Manhattan's West Side waterfront. It was derelict and had been deteriorating for decades. Diller and von Furstenberg have pledged another $120 million to maintain the park and pay for programming over the next 20 years. A fan of Little Island raises the question, should billionaires be remaking public spaces? Developers mention, we can't just rely on rich people and their sense that they want to build something and where they decide to build it, to build an equitable, fair, healthy city. But that doesn't mean that this park, however, is not an asset for everyone in the city. When asked, why did the two of you decide to put your money on the west side of Manhattan as opposed to endowing a hospital wing or something like that? Diller mentions, I love public spaces. They're not curing a disease, but they allow civic life to be better. I see people walking across that bridge in huge numbers, and it makes them really happy.
This is interesting.
I don't know where to start.
For one to have the money to be like, hey.
Yeah.
I just want to do a thing. And then who do you call? Like,
right.
What is the, I would love to see, like, who is the first number you call when you figure you want to build a man-made island in New York City?
Right.
Not Tennessee.
No. In New York City.
Like,
no cheap real estate there, fam.
And listeners, please take a moment to Google Little Island.
Yes.
And I ain't gonna lie. I want to walk this thing.
It's lit.
Now. You know, and like,
oh, snap. It,
honestly, the overhead shot reminds me of a humongous miniature golf park. Like, that's what it.
Oh, wow.
Kind of these pathways and so on kind of give me that vibe of a nice little 18 holes of miniature golf. But yeah.
Hmm.
You know, I'm going to say, honestly, it's one of those things that I'm not mad at it, especially with that question that be the question being asked, like, yes, there's a million things that we could do that would
sure
impact people in sure. probably faster ways and ways that could be actually tracked a bit different. This is actually, I get the with that response, I can feel that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Best use of money, I can't say yes.
Would it be the best use of your money?
Absolutely not. But hey,
right,
people,
hey, and you know, I'm sure it'll make some people happy. Didn't cost the city anything, and they're gonna pay for programming, what to say, for the next 20 years.
Yeah. 120 milli.
Man, you need to do a run up the numbers in the park.
I was going to say, we got to circle back to this to give our final thoughts after a little speed walk.
Ooh, when we go on our East Coast tour, we got to hit the John.
Yes.
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 Yeah.
And a little bit of heavier news.
Yes.
Bob Moses, civil rights legend, has passed. Civil rights legend Bob Moses died at age 86. According to a statement from NAACP President Derek Johnson, the cause of death was not immediately known. Moses was born in New York City in January 1935 and grew up in Harlem. According to his biography on Stanford University's King Encyclopedia of Civil Rights Figures, he earned a master's degree in philosophy from Harvard University in 1957. In the late 1950s, he began working on the civil rights movement, joining the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and traveling with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. Bob Moses was a giant, a strategist at the core of the civil rights movement, former leader said in the statement released Sunday. Through his life's work, he bent the arc of the moral universe towards justice, making our world a better place. He fought for our right to vote, our most sacred right. He knew that justice, freedom, and democracy were not a state, but an ongoing struggle. So may his light continue to guide us as we face another wave of Jim Crow laws. His example is more important now than ever. The statement continued. Condolences. Rest in peace.
Rest
Thank
in
you
power.
For all that was done.
Absolutely. And that's a good point talking about, as you know, we begin to face another wave of Jim Crow laws. Like, they're definitely actively trying to turn the clock back. And, man, you know, may our listeners and anyone that's unaware of Bob Moses take some time, examine his life, examine his work, and allow his legacy to live on in the work that we continue to do. Because there's a lot of work to do out here. Straight up. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're gonna bring the elevation back.
Yes.
Absolutely. The Numbers Summer Series.
Hey.
Is still underway.
Yes, it is.
It's a been a booming.
Listen,
shout out to the youth.
Come on, man. Let's shout out the youth. The music curation team, Serendipity, through they drip fest last weekend. Past weekend. It was awesome, man. That was incredible. Yes. That was so dope.
That's that energy to just the capture of energy as I walked up and remembering what it was like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Which is crazy hearing that out loud, even though I'm only 36, but still, like 20 years ago, 15 years ago, of just what that was like. And it's I think there's this element of looking into a moment like that and seeing creatives that young and realizing you have the world in front of you.
Yeah.
You have a lot of time to figure this out, and doing this that young and establishing some of these things at that point, it to me is always like humbling and gives me a positive feeling, you know, and towards the outlook, and then just the individual faces. You know, I definitely stopped the crew, you know, at the end of the event. Like, I want you guys tonight, when you sit down, to really take in what y'all did. Mm-hmm. Like, this was y'all. Sit with that feeling and understand that, yes, there's another, there's more, and there's going to be another thing to go after. But in this moment, y'all did that.
Yeah.
Sit with that feeling.
Yeah. That's definitely one of the angles I tried to present them with. Like, you know, they were thinking about some of the hiccups and some of the things they wish they could have done better. And I said, look around. Look how many people showed up. Look how many people are here, right here, downtown, watching what y'all put together. It's a success. Period.
Yes.
It's a success. Y'all did that. That was amazing. Oh, that was so good, man. And I mean, like, that was their first event. I cannot remember my first event going anywhere near as good as that. And of that, you know, that scale. So
yeah,
I'm happy for the opportunity. You know, our community partners, PBOT, Portland Art Museum, and, you know, all of our underwriters and monthly supporters that have memberships with the museum, have memberships with the Numbers, like, y'all are responsible. You know, the resources that we have to have available to be able to erase these barriers and allow these kids to realize their dreams. You are a part of that. You're responsible. Yes. Thank you so very much. So very much.
Yes. Oh, infinity times over.
Yeah.
But there's more. There's more in this series.
Yeah, so exactly.
That was then. And the future is a-coming.
Yes. Make sure you check the description for the episode. We will definitely have the updated event list right there. There are two more dates added, so take a look in there. And, man, come check out the team. Come check out the team.
Yes, Lord. Well, make sure you check in with us every Monday at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 8 p.m. again as we sit down and run up the numbers.
Run up the numbers.
Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron needs to resign.
Hosted by Ken Jones and DJ Ambush.
Brett Hankinson needs to be charged with Breonna Taylor's death.
Special thanks to our researcher and writer, Claudia Claudio.
Miles Cosgrove needs to be charged with Breonna Taylor's death.
Music by Seas.
Jonathan Mattingly needs to be charged with Breonna Taylor's death.